go to Johan, who's calling from the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland. Welcome to The Right Perspective, Johan.
Hi, Johan. Thanks for joining us.
At this late hour for you.
Yeah.
Or early hour.
Hi, John. Hi, Frank. How are you guys?
Ah, good.
Good to hear from you.
Gegrandet.
Baie gedankie.
Ah, goeiemorgen, meneer.
Goeiemorgen, dag.
What's on your mind?
Yes, guys, I think, first of all, I have to say it was a bit of a disappointment. I was watching the election proceedings here in the early hours of the morning.
Yes.
And I think I couldn't believe what I saw, but I don't think there's anything we can do about that now, I suppose.
No, and I think it might even get worse if they get two more Senate seats. So we've got to do what we can to win those other two Senate seats so the Republicans have some kind of a buffer in the Senate, at least the Senate. The Congress is, forget it. But, you know, Johan, I was very proud of your prime minister, even though he's a socialist. He called for the industrialized nations to get together and have a massive tax cut among them to get the world economy back on track. Now, isn't it amazing how socialists suddenly want to become conservatives and Republicans, comparing them to Republicans here in the United States, they all suddenly wake up and realize what really works when it hits the fan. They want to become one of us and start preaching our philosophy of tax cuts that create wealth and jobs. So it just means that they're always lying to themselves when they want to raise taxes just to control your life. But you know, when it looks so bad, then they try to adopt our policies. And why doesn't anyone bring this out and throw it right back in their face and say, you hypocrites, you call for tax increases most of the time when things are going well. But when things are not going well, then you all want to adopt the conservative political philosophy. But at least he did it. Whether anyone is listening, I don't know.
Yes, that's actually very true, what you're saying about the political philosophies. And I have to say, if you look at it in general, the support for Labour in the UK currently isn't that great. Although, if you look back at the last 10 years, I suppose where Gordon Brown has in actual fact been the Chancellor of the Exchequer, which is basically the equivalent of the Finance Minister in other countries, I suppose. I mean, he's done exceptionally well. You know, if you look at growth. Over this
hold it right there, Johan, because we're going to end this hour. Just hold it there. We'll get right back to Johan, who's calling us live from the United Kingdom. And we're going to have Barry Farber on in the next hour. And your calls at 718-761-9996. Please remember The Right Perspective to keep us here. Help us stay here on WWCR and go now to TalkStream Live and look up The Right Perspective, and you can hear us now on Shoutcast 100% better. John?
All right. We'll end this portion of the show with a quote from a great president, Theodore Roosevelt, who said, "I think there is only one quality worse than hardness of heart, and that is softness of head."
Thank you!
Another hour of news, opinion, passion. It's The Right Perspective.
And we are back. This is The Right Perspective. Your calls at 718-761-9996. 718-761-9996. We'll go back to Johan, calling from the United Kingdom of Great Britain. Let me ask you something, Johan.
Yes.
Now, you left South Africa, and you're in Great Britain. Do you see a parallel between the sick and truly tribal mentality of people throughout the world who are treating Obama as somehow he's this, you know, this messiah? To me, it seems the same tribal mentality that you have in darkest Africa.
Frank, it's exactly that, and that is what concerned me most about this election. I mean, my son is now 18 years old, and the reason for me leaving South Africa, he was around 11 years old when we left. And it was just that I didn't see any future for him there, you know, due to affirmative action and black economic empowerment. We could see 10 years ago already that the country was going downhill. I mean, crime was already rampant then. And if you look at the mainstream media all over the world, Mandela is today revered as you say, some kind of messiah. The fact of the matter is that this guy was still involved in what I regard a communist political party. He was responsible for several bomb explosions throughout South Africa, killing civilians. Now, to my mind, a person responsible for that is a terrorist, not a messiah. And it seems to me that if you listen and you watch the media today, I don't know a lot of Obama's history, but it seems that this man can almost do nothing wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, I realized the other day that I now live in a parallel world. I watch the words that I use, because the words that I use are words, by using them, I'm giving legitimacy to the left. For example, I never use the term capitalism. I only use the term free enterprise. That's a Marxist term. Karl Marx sat on his fat ass in the Library of London, never worked a day in his life, and created the word capitalism. So when you use the word economic empowerment, now it's not black economic empowerment, it's really black theft of what the Boer folk built in South Africa.
Well, it's absolutely that, Frank. I mean, I've got no quibble with people of other nationalities and other races. And I think anybody with a little bit of common sense will agree that there were obviously some issues under apartheid that wasn't appropriate and that needed to be resolved. But in reality, if you look at towards the end of the 80s, most of the legislation that formed the so-called apartheid government were abolished. You know, they were no such thing anymore as exclusivity towards certain races. You know, in schools, in universities, or anything like that. And if you look at what black economic empowerment achieved, it was only the select few with government connections and family members in government that got decent jobs in companies. Black economic empowerment has never benefited people on grassroots level.
Well, Johan, I hate to cut you off, but we have our guests. We're going to have to go. What we have to say here is always what I say. South Africa's present is our future. Unfortunately, it looks like the future is now. Kom asseblief vir, meneer. Tot ziens.
I will do that.
Ekati teki bayachuni.
And if you want to call us back after our guest, Johan, you're quite welcome, and glad for that you took the time out to call all the way from the United Kingdom, whom I have as much hope for as I have for the United States, because if political correctness is rearing its ugly head around the globe. You talk about globalization, it's only globalization for political correctness. And good night, yes. Jan. We'll talk to you in a little while.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Storm, I'm going to let you go just for a couple of minutes because we have our guest.
And our guest now is talk radio legend Barry Farber, and he's here on The Right Perspective with us. Welcome to The Right Perspective, Barry.
Hey, Barry.
Hey, I feel like a war criminal interrupting this conversation. I'll tell you what. We hear news from all parts of the planet except South Africa. You are the only news source from South Africa. And you can take a bow, but I'm sure you're not going to be happy, even though you have the right to be proud. Why is our media not telling us what's going on in South Africa?
Well, for the simple reason, because they sold us a bill of goods about South Africa back in the 1980s. They lied about the Boer folk. You know, Barry, we've done something on this program that no one else in the world has done. We've covered the Boer-Cuban War in Angola, when a nation of 4.5 million stood up to the might of the Bolshevik experiment in the Soviet entity, took on 50,000 Cuban imperialist lackeys and running dogs of the Moscow warmongers, when they even took on Russian troops in Angola and beat their tails bloody. And no one knows about that war. That country made a sacrifice to stop the Cubans in Angola at the behest of the United States of America. And to my shame, and I always apologize to my Boer friends, that we stabbed that nation in the back. You know, Barry, we would have just waited 10 years. They could have solved their problem themselves. And as I said many times, there was a Jewish stake in South Africa, because what's happened to them is going to happen to Israel. In fact, it's happening now. You see it. But people don't, the media does not want to admit what's going on over there, because if they do, they'll have to admit that they were wrong and they lied to the American people and took us for a ride and put a bunch of communists in power. Do you realize in 1989, Barry, communism fell, and in 1994, we turned over a prosperous, thriving, modern nation to communists. What was more insane than that?
Well, the tragedy is that Americans don't know that. All they know is that Nelson Mandela was a hero freedom fighter, and South Africa is no longer an apartheid, Nazi-type state, and everything is fine. That's all we know in America as I sit here right now. That's all we know from our media.
You know why? In fact, you know, that was, you know, you brought up, they said it was a Nazi-like state. You look at that movie with Mel Gibson and Danny Glover, where they play the two cops. Well, what's the name of that movie again, where they play the two cops in L.A.?
Oh, yeah.
What's that? Where he's suicidal.
Yeah, there was three or four versions.
And in that movie, who's the villain? The villain is the South African consulate, the South African diplomat. Meanwhile, half of the world, was occupied by the communists, but a little nation of 4.5 million people was the greatest threat to humanity. Apartheid was the greatest threat to humanity when half of the world chafed under the yoke and shackle of communist genocide. That's the kind of lies and left-wing propaganda that they spewed out about that country. That was nonsense. In 1975, 3 million Cambodians were being exterminated, but they were marching nobly against apartheid. No, yeah. It's a lie. It's a fraud. It's a sham.
Yeah,
people don't even, let me finish this. People don't even know how much the Boers had given to the blacks over there. They didn't hate them. They never hated them. And why was South Africa, why were the Boers pro-German? Because the British exterminated 33,000 Boer women and children in the world's first concentration camps. So they were pro-German, just like the great General Mannerheim. Doesn't mean they were Nazis. They were siding with the people who were fighting against their enemy. And the look, Barry, the American people know about us. The only history the American people know is what Britney Spears did last week.
Wait. Help me out here. Help me out. I know that in Namibia, in Windhoek, there is a street named Hermann Göringstrasse.
Right.
Which is named not after Hitler's notorious Luftwaffe chief, but rather after his father, who was the German colonial general of Southwest Africa when it was under German command before World War One. That's the South Africa that I'm pointing to right now. From that South Africa up to now, we know almost nothing, and I'm very curious to know how you managed to bridge the gap between Nelson Mandela and the reality of today. Do Americans get the truth about what you know better than any other medium in the world?
No, they don't, because first of all, you know, we're in contact with quite a few people over there. We interviewed General Magnus Malan, who led the Boer army against the Cubans in Angola. We interviewed Mayor Helen Zila of Kapstadt, which we call Cape Town. We've been in touch with many of these people. And, you know, once we made our original contact, we were able to because these people have no one to talk to them. You know, look, this fellow Johan we just spoke to is a Boer expatriate living in the United Kingdom. We've spoken to Boers that are living in Australia and New Zealand we're in contact with. They've been driven out of their country. It's a tragedy,
Straighten me out, Frank. Mm-hmm. Straighten me out, because I need education here. During World War II, I remember Jan Christian Smuts was the leader of South Africa. Now, they were on Britain's side, not Germany's side, right?
Yeah, but you see, Jan Smuts was considered a traitor by the Boers.
In other words, they thought, the Boers thought he should be pro-Nazi.
Well, no, they just thought he shouldn't be. He gave in to the British. He fought against the British in the Boer War, but then he became pro-British. He became a tool of the British. I mean, it was a British it was a colony. That was two countries. That was Transvaal, Republic of Transvaal, and the Orange Free State, and their land was literally stolen from them by the British when gold and diamonds were discovered over there. They came in, they murdered them, they put their women and children in concentration camps, they burned their farms down, they starved them. I mean, they couldn't beat their army in the field. The mighty British Empire couldn't beat a bunch of ragtag commando farmers who went out and defeated them. And so, of course, they were pro-German, just as the Irish were pro-German. Though they were neutral, they were still pro-German because of the British genocide that happened in Ireland with the Great Famine. So, of course, they were. But Jan Smuts was basically, he was a tool or a toady of the British. He was not, by the bitter end, he's not called the great hero of the Boer people. But they fought on the side of the British, just as there were Irish from America whose family were persecuted by the British, fought for the United States against the Germans in World War II.
All right. Well, you can console yourself that the big joke in Havana.
Yes.
You've talked about the 50,000 communist Cuban troops fighting on that continent.
Mm-hmm.
You can console yourself that while they were doing that, the big joke in Havana was as follows. One Cuban would ask another, what's the largest country in the world? And the answer was Cuba. The territories in the Caribbean, the governments in Moscow,
right.
The armies in Africa, and the populations in Miami, Tampa, and Jersey City.
But, Barry, if you want to find out, you go to our website, therightperspective.com. I know you go to the website. Look up the link for Hello Africa, and you'll find the interviews that we've done. They've been archived, and you'll hear firsthand what's going straight from the horse's mouth. I mean, this is not some newsman reporting for 30 seconds on the news. These are from the Boer folk who are living over there. These are the people who are enduring the horrible, horrible crime that's going on over there, the mismanagement of government that's going on. It's sad. When you think how that nation was stabbed in the back by the West and how you took those people who had a unique culture, a unique language, a unique history, who never did anything to anybody. They never hijacked any United States airliner, never killed or kidnapped any American citizen like the Mohammedanite terrorists. They never did anything to us. All they said was, like the Israelis, just let us be by ourselves. We'll work our problems out. They were there for 350 years. They're more African than Jesse Jackson or this foreign occupier who's going to take power in the White House. They are true Africans. They're a white tribe, and they built a magnificent nation out of nothing. And yet these people were vilified. You got to listen to our interviews. You'll find out what's really, really going on over there.
Well, tell me, where did you learn how to speak Afrikaans?
Because my Boer friend, we have a friend of ours who's a listener in Canada. He sent me an Afrikaans tape, and speaking with the Boers that I got to know. They teach me a little Afrikaans here and there.
Well, I don't want to turn this into a musical.
No.
But before I leave, you mind if I sing my favorite song in the world, which
yes.
happens to be a Boer song?
Yes.
It's an Afrikaans song. Are you allowed to sing on this broadcast?
Be our guest, Barry. You can do anything.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Mijn sari mare is zo ver van mijn hart, maar ik hoop haar weer te zien. Ze woont in de week bij de voetreweer van woon, na voor dit oorlog het begin. Oh, breng mij terug naar de oude Transvaal, daar waar mijn sari woont, tam, 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 tam. Daaronder in de milies bij de schone Doringbaum, ja, daar woont mijn sari mare. Daaronder in de milies bij de schone Doringbaum. Ja, daar woont mijn sari mare. South African Boers have the best folk music in the world.
Oh, yeah. We have a whole album. I have albums of Boer, like folk music. For example, The Lady Roberts, about it was a gun that was captured. It was a big cannon that was captured during the Boer War by General Benfil Yoon, and they took it from, they went behind the British lines, stole this cannon from the British, and turned it on them. We have a whole, Barry, their history is so fascinating, and they were just demonized in the media. That's why the media is so demonized, Barry, dangerous, because they can demonize anybody. They can demonize any group of people. And people see what they think is real on TV, and that's it, and they believe it.
Barry, you know, I only have one thing to say after that performance of yours.
Yes.
You won that round. Okay, let's go on. Yeah. You won that one.
Barry, you got to tell our listeners when you're on the radio so they can tune into talk radio legend, yeah. Barry Farber.
People have to know that. I don't know how this squares with Greenwich Mean Time, but we're on the air from 8 to 10, Monday through Friday, on CRN Digital Talk Radio, and I'll give the website twice, that wherever you are in the world tells you how to get connected. It's www.crntalk.com. Once more slowly, www.crntalk.com. And
right.
Thank you very much. I'm so proud of both of you. I knew you, you know, tell your listeners, I knew you when.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Frank. Hey, Frank.
Barry,
you remember this?
You know, you are like a dog I'm very fond of, but who keeps getting loose and biting mailmen.
Wait, I can hardly hear that. Just tell me about it.
This is what, you know, when I would make some controversial remarks when I called you up, this is what you would tell me.
You know, you are like a dog I'm very fond of, but who keeps getting loose and biting mailmen.
So,
John, I remember having some problems with you and with Frank.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can't agree on 100% of everything, but I admire you and I admire what you're doing. And the only thing is, I wonder if you ever really got in touch with Ethelyn to talk to her about her experience at the Bell Laboratory.
Yes.
I don't know, but this is what you told her one time.
Darling, you got too much sand in your gizzard. Clean it out and call me.
You know, Ethelyn was so excited about the election of Barack Hussein Obama that she went out election night and she cleaned 50 floors.
How do you remember that? I never forget. I had John on the show one night, and Ethelyn was telling me about her experience at the Bell Labs,
yeah.
And John exploded. I don't care about your experience yeah. at the Bell Labs.
Well, you know, Barry, we have all of those calls on audio tape, and I'm in the process now of making separate files to them for them and cleaning them up in my program, digitally enhancing all those calls. We've got 126 volumes.
Right.
Of the best of John and Frank, all the phone calls that we made over the years to talk radio.
I want to be the first customer of that album because I was on the radio as a talk host in New York while you all were calling people like me and making those calls.
Yeah, well, we're going to put them on DVD. They'll all fit on, I think, one DVD. And you can have all 126 volumes, and I have them all listed. What the calls are all about for each volume. So that's we.
You know, Barry, when the type of talk radio that you do and that John and I remember from all the times that we called you, it's a much, in our opinion, it's a much more civilized, it's a much more relaxing, and it's a much more intellectually stimulating type of program. And today, there are people in talk radio that are syndicated that all they have to do is read either the Democrat or Republican talking points. The calls last 10, 30 seconds. It's nothing that really feeds a person's intellect.
Well, hey, Barry, as a matter of fact, speaking to that, I want you to listen to this for about a minute. This is what you used to get. This is what you get on talk radio today. Compared to what you hear on The Right Perspective. I mean, we talk to people for 5-6 minutes, and this is what you get today on radio, okay?
Got to run.
I'm out of time right now.
All right, you've only got about 40 seconds.
Hey, John, you got about 40 seconds.
John, you got about 10 seconds.
Very quickly, a minute.
You've only got about a minute.
Mark in Pennsylvania, less than 30 seconds. Mark, go. Got to take a quick break.
I got to let you go, because I'm going to get some other calls.
Thank you. Our time's up.
John, 30 seconds, quick.
I just have to tell you, we've only got about a half a minute.
Okay, I got 30 seconds, so get right to it.
Frank, you don't have all that much time. John, you really don't have nearly as much time as you wish you did. Hurry up, I got to take a break.
Let me answer your question. There's short time.
Hurry up.
John, I don't have enough time.
All right, John, we don't have much time. You better hurry up.
Okay, I don't have a lot of time.
You got 5 seconds.
That's what you get in talk radio today.
Powerful.
And that's why we get. That's why we got our own show and built our own studio. So.
Yes, got our own
studio. That is powerful, and I'm so proud of you, what you've done.
Well, thanks
you
a lot,
didn't
Barry.
You like what was going on, and you built an alternative universe, and I'm very proud of
thank you.
You. Thank you.
Well, you know, you encouraged us.
I wanted to share a little bit of it.
You got us in.
And we want to have you down one night.
Yeah.
We'll pick you up by car and bring you down and home.
And we'll
don't
have
to do that.
We'll have a filtered fish ready for you.
I'd be very proud to make my way down. But tell me,
yes.
What before I let you go, if I'm not taking too much of your
time. No, take all your time you want.
What is your attitude now towards the next 4 years in American politics?
Very depressed.
Very depressed.
Very depressed, very scared.
Yeah.
We've got, first of all, the Democrat Party, Barry, is the new Nazi Party. This is not the Democrats of Adlai Stevenson III. Hubert Humphrey, John F. Kennedy,
Scoop Jackson.
Scoop Jackson. This is the new American Communist Party, and you've got the perfect storm of insane Marxist, communist, and socialist coming together with the guy at the top actually being a communist. Isn't it amazing, Barry, we spent 50 years defeating communism and the dumbed-down American people, because the left got control of the school system, have turned all of our kids into morons, and they really don't even know how the economy works or how our system works. They don't know anything about the Constitution of the United States. We now bring communism back with our first president, the first communist. Well, actually, Bill Clinton, as far as I'm concerned, was a communist as well, and so was Jimmy Carter, especially when you hear him today. But this guy is a full-blown Bolshevik, and we are in deep trouble. And especially, it's amazing how, you know, everybody's asking, what do the Republicans have to do to get back into power? What do they have to do to get back into office and turn things around? Well, what they have to do is start blaming the party that got us in this problem in the first place. Not once did you hear on the campaign trail that the Democrats caused this whole economic meltdown. You saw all those audios and the videos of the Democrats defending Fannie and Freddie Mae, while George Bush and John McCain were two of the people who warned against it, and it was all Republicans saying, we've got a problem here, and yet George Bush, just because he's in the White House, took all the blame for this. The Republicans allowed themselves to take the blame for Katrina. That whole state has been controlled by Democrats for 40 years. They had a Democrat governor, a Democrat big-time senator. Ray Nagin is the Democrat mayor there, you know, Mr. Chocolate City. They used all the funds that were supposed to go to rebuilding the barriers down there. They use them for social programs. And then they blame it on the President of the United States just because we have a Republican in the White House and the Republicans say and do nothing. They need an instant response team, and they need someone with their ear to the ground. For instance, Barry, I'll give you one example. I don't mean to hold you up.
I'm interested.
You know how the whole campaign was based on George Bush's tax one of the things they kept bringing up. George Bush's tax cuts were for the wealthy only, which there would be nothing wrong with. Well, a report came out this week that the income for Americans making anywhere from $15,000 up to $100,000 increased in droves from $15,000 to $30,000. I think it went up something like 8%. From $30,000 to $50,000, it went up some like 10%. From 50,000 to 75, it went up another 10 or 15%. And from $75,000 up to $100,000 in income, it increased by something like 18%. These are all middle-class pay. You know, it's the quintile, the middle-class quintile. And yet, that proves that the tax cuts from George Bush were not just for wealthy people. They benefited everyone. And yet the Republicans have not said a damn thing about this. I heard about it one time, and that was it. The Republicans need someone to get out there and call news conferences to refute the lies when the truth comes out and expose the Democrats for the liars they are. They're so incompetent and so politically tone deaf, it makes you commode-hugging sick.
Well, I love that term, and I hope you will tell your listeners what memo you wrote by email to Neil Cavuto of the Fox Channel, which I thought was on your side and on our side.
Yeah, it's amazing that he fell into that trap, trying to put some of the blame for this fiasco on the Republicans. And I was really surprised because normally he's sticking up for Republicans. But he's, you know, I got a feeling that they're trying to protect themselves.
They are.
Because Obama's coming after Fox News.
Yes.
So now Bill O'Reilly,
yeah,
who's that fraud. And now Neil Cavuto's joined the crowd. Oh, see, he criticizes Republicans, too. He's good enough to stay on the air. They're all looking to save their careers,
yes,
instead of telling the truth. This was not a Republican problem. This was strictly Democrats. And what was the other problem that's caused us problems over the last 6 months, Barry? The high price of gas and fuel. Well, the Democrats have caused all of this. They're the ones who won't allow us.
You don't have to be.
Barry, can you hold on for about 2 seconds?
Yeah.
Well, at least a minute anyway. We'll get right back to you, and then we'll let
you
go.
I just need your body, baby. I'm just too gone. You don't need experience to turn me out. You just leave it all up to me. I'll show you what it's all about. You don't have to be.
We're taking your phone call. So if you've got questions or comments, then be heard on The Right Perspective.
The Right Perspective.
From across the USA and the rest of North America.
Okay, let me get this straight. I buy I-bonds, say, $1 million worth.
You can buy up to $30,000 a year.
Yeah, right. So I buy I-bonds, and my money will always earn a rate higher than inflation?
That's right.
For 1,000 years?
For 30 years. It's guaranteed to stay ahead of inflation for 30 years.
And it's safe, backed by the U.S. Treasury?
That's correct.
World comes to an end, no problem, still safe.
I'm not even going to answer
that. So getting back to the inflation thing. Inflation goes up to, say, 10%, I'm covered?
You're covered. Your investment will continue to earn a rate over and above inflation for up to 30 years.
20%?
You're covered.
3,000%.
Oh, come on.
Hey, I'm joking. So tell me, where can I get these things and I'm out of here?
Gladly. You can purchase I-bonds where you work, bank, or through the new U.S. Savings Bonds Easy Saver Plan. To learn all about I-bonds, go to www.savingsbonds.gov.
www.savingsbonds.gov. Huh, pretty catchy, huh?
Goodbye.
But I'm not even finished.
Goodbye.
A public service announcement by the Department of Treasury in this station.
Yeah, right.
Would you take from Moses all that I have given him? Would you undo all that I have done for him? I have put the throne of Egypt within his reach. What can you give him in its place?
John from Staten Island and Frank from Queens.
Not, not, no Tyrells, no Tyrells.
All right, that's the great Duran Duran. Great song, and we have a great friend of ours on the line, the great Barry Farber.
Talk radio legend. You know, Barry, before John just finished, I want to say that, you know, you, because of you, I got back into stamp collecting. You used to do a commercial for H.E. Harris, and the commercial was so good that the way you did it that I started collecting again, and I haven't stopped since then.
How do you remember that?
We remember everything, Barry.
We remember everything.
You've been around talk radio. You know, we have a whole history on our tape, so, you know, we remember all this stuff.
Sure. But, you know, you got to do us a favor. When you know, Sean Hannity loves our program. He listens to The Right Perspective all the time. When
yes.
You know, and I know Sean's a good friend of yours. When you see him, just tell him that John and Frank would love to call him, but we don't have time. The time, we're just too busy with our own program. I know Sean listens, he loves the program, but then he's always saying, why don't these guys call me, but we just don't have the time to. So when you see Sean, tell him it's not personal, we have nothing against him.
I will do that, and by the way, I really loved the fact that you two came up from the ranks, you know. Not many generals began as privates in the army, but you all did. You came up as callers to talk radio, and now we're proud to be calling you.
Well, thank you, Barry.
Well, you know, you're one of the few people who don't have this big ego. You know, there's a lot of hosts out there, we should call them, you know. But you've always been a friend, and we
That's
thank
right.
you for all those years. You had us on the show, and you really helped us, and you encouraged us.
Yes.
You know, you gave us that that bug to get involved in talk radio.
Look, I had you both. Hey, okay, look, let me take pride in this. I had you both on the air before you started this magnificent international adventure, which is helping so many people understand so many vital issues that they wouldn't be informed on in any other medium.
Yeah.
I'm real proud of you, too, and thank you very much for letting me.
Yeah.
I hope you'll forgive me for singing.
That's a classic.
Hey, don't
have your secretary type it, and I'll sign it.
Thank you.
Good night now.
All
right, Barry.
And Barry, may your tribe increase. And I know it has your grandpa.
I return the compliment in manifold dimensions. Good things.
Thank you very much, Barry. We'll be in touch.
Good night.
Thanks, Barry.
God bless you, Barry.
And stay healthy.
Good night. You too.
Bye-bye. And that was an exclusive here on the Right Perspective. Got a lot of good sound bites now from this, John.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's why we really hope you'll help.
I think it's a treasure trove.
Yeah, and that's why we hope you'll help the Right Perspective, because you know what, folks? You ain't going to hear this any other place. Nobody's going to do this. Nobody's going to call from Great Britain to any of these other talk shows. The way, you know, and this guy's a boor that called Johan. From United Kingdom. He's a boor. They're boors. It's a diaspora. They're being driven out of their own country. And he called in. You never hear Barry on any
of we forgot to play the stem.
Oh, all right. But that's okay.
Can't do everything.
But see, Barry is... that's the difference between him and some of these other people, you know, that... You know what it is, too? At his age and the time he's been in it, John...
Yeah.
He's so sure of himself now, at this point, he doesn't have to have an ego and feel he's being displaced. You know, I was talking to the news guy, and the news guy brought up something really important. And I got to say this about the news guy. You know, when John and I did this show with Hal, Hal's, you know, guilt by association when it comes to the foreign occupier. What do they say? Guilt by association doesn't work. Well, don't guilt by association, because we did a show with Hal. When we knew Hal, he was there was nothing what he became. That's his business. And he's a guy that rolls his sleeves up, but he has one problem, and John hit it on the head when we brought... Hal is not a team player, so the best thing for him was to do his own program.
And the very fact that we're not with him any longer says a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, the guilt by association nonsense doesn't work.
Right.
Otherwise, we'd still be with him.
Right. You know, he's Hal is a lone wolf. He does very well for himself. And that's how he is. But the news guy is a team player. That he got the time in. You know, he told us about Shoutcast. You know, he worked with John on this. That's a team player. That's what you need. And that's why the show is prospering and the show is going forward, because we have a team effort here to work together. A guy like Barry, he's so sure and confident at this point in his life that he doesn't have to. And the news guy said to me tonight, he called me before the show, he said, these people, and he's 100% right, they try to sell themselves. They're all selling themselves. This moron in San Francisco, psychological nudity. He's selling himself. I wrote 25 books. I have two PhDs. I'm a genius. I'm this. I'm that. I'm this. I'm that. He's selling himself. Do you really want to? Barry never sold himself. He never talked about himself. Do you know that Barry? People thought he worked for the CIA. What happened is he used to go to Eastern. He went to Eastern Europe, and when he came back, he was debriefed by the CIA, which at that time, and I regret I didn't talk to him about it, maybe when we have him on again. When you came back from Europe at that time, Eastern Europe, they would debrief you because he had been in Russia and, you know, the CIA. Now, the whole thing is, why did they debrief Barry Farber? But when Lee Harvey Oswald came back, he was not debriefed. And he was a Marine who defected, and they never debriefed him. So if you want to think that there was something fishy going on, there was. But Barry never sold himself. He never Bob Grant was a guy that never sold himself either. He was very private about his life. But the rest of these schmucks, they all sell themselves. They're all telling you about themselves. Do you really care about Mike Savage growing up in the Bronx? Do you really care about that? Do you really care about some Gavone that he knew or some of that stupid stories of his? They're all selling themselves. They all have a terrible ego problem. But Barry Farber showed you tonight, Barry doesn't have that problem, that he was nice enough to come on, do the show with us, compliment us. That's a real mensch.